We live in a time of unprecedented wealth and prosperity. We live better now today in 2019 than the richest and most powerful rulers did years ago. We live better than the kings and queens of the past. We have greater health. We have greater opportunities. Just the fact that we have electricity, we have hot waters, we have toilets that flush, we can go places in cars, we have antibiotics, we have an incredible amount of blessing. And one of the areas of blessing is in food. At least in our culture, generally, now I know there's places where this isn't true even in our country, but generally, we have no shortage of food. Most Americans don't know really what it means to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." We have an entire network devoted to food, and it's simply called the Food Network. Food is a gift of God, and it's given to us to enjoy, to nourish and strengthen us, to enrich our physical bodies. So isn't it ironic and fitting and full of glorious symbolism that God ordained his people come together to eat a meal together? It's called the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11. The word communion comes from this passage. It's the King James translates the word participation as communion, koinonia. It is a communion, communing. Listen, God ordained for you to come to this meal, the Lord's Supper, because he loves you. And he has prepared this meal to meet together with us. That should stagger us. He is the host. We are the beneficiaries. The Lord's Supper is designed to enrich our faith. And that's what we're going to see as we go through a few verses here in 1 Corinthians 10. There's two ways that our faith is enriched clearly from this passage at the Lord's Supper. At the Lord's Supper, at the Lord's table, there is fellowship with Christ and there is fellowship with one another. So there's two ways that your faith, and I long for your faith to be enriched. I long for you to be stable, happy Christians. And one of the ways God promotes that is at the Lord's table, where your faith is enriched as we participate or have fellowship with Christ and we participate or have fellowship with one another. So let's walk through that. The first way our faith is enriched is at the Lord's Supper, there is fellowship with Christ. Look at verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation, communion, fellowship in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation, a communion, a fellowship in the body of Christ? The Lord's Supper is a sweet time. It should be the highlight where God places a celebratory focus, time of examining ourselves and remembering his mercy, where we are participating in the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, together with Christ. There's that realization. Every time we come to the table, it's the realization that, yet again, we who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This is a vertical relationship that we have, us and God, that's represented at the Lord's table. Christ has come to us. Christ has come to us. He's come to us first in the gospel. So I want to make this clear. This is not, the table here is not a place in which we are experiencing saving grace or several parts of Christianity that have gone off the rails with understanding there. The gospel comes to us not at the table. We don't receive saving grace at the table. What happens at the table is a recalling of what it represents, the body and blood of Jesus. This table here is not your trophy cabinet. This is not where you present all your good deeds and say, "Look what I've done." In fact, it's the opposite. His table is presenting his work for us, his body, his blood given to rescue you from sin and death. Not your trophy case, it's his work, his table, and he is hosting it and inviting you to come. Empty-handed, broken, guilty. And we who are his rejoice that yet again we're reminded Christ died for us, he rose for us. So at the Lord's table, he calls us to rest in that anew. He calls you to rest in that fresh again. Remember the gospel. Remember who you are. Now, as I said before, we have to distinguish between the presence of Christ, what that means at the table. There are streams of Christianity, Catholicism, and Lutheranism that believe that the elements, the food, the bread, and the wine, are where the body of Christ is. He either is in those elements or he becomes those elements as we partake of the Lord's Supper. That is not the case. But there is a spiritual presence of Christ at the table. He's prepared this table. He is present at the table, and he is welcoming you to the table. This is the participation, this fellowship. We're with Christ together under the glory of his gospel. And so you come some Sunday, and you're like Thomas, doubting. And he shows you, again, his hands, his feet, his side, and he reminds you that you've been reconciled to God through his work. And our hearts rest in that. Our faith is enriched. Our doubts begin to be eased. Or you come like Peter, having betrayed him with your thoughts and your actions and your motives. And he prepares this meal like he did for Peter, but he prepares this meal for you to welcome you back to the table, renewed in your relationship with him. You come to the table wounded by the world, discouraged in relationships, beat up, hurt by gossip, persecuted for your faith, and he re-presents the promises of his covenant to you, that he has reconciled you to God. You have peace with the living God. You'll never be alone. You always have him as your refuge and help. At the Lord's Supper, there is sweet fellowship with Christ. So let's not come to the table casually, enjoying a cracker and some juice. Let's come reverently, expectantly, joyously, yet again reminded of the promises of the gospel. Let us certainly not come to the table sinfully, harboring sin in our lives. You read through 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. In fact, even the little bit that we got to, there's no presence of sin in Christ that come together and mix well. We come as a point of refinement. The sin we carry in, we confess, Lord, I am unworthy, but Christ has made me worthy. I forsake the sin, and I cling back to the table and find my seat, cling back to Christ and come back to the table. I also want to encourage you not to come fearfully. You might feel distant in your relationship with God, and you're working through things, you're examining yourself, but just remember, he's welcoming you with open arms, brother, sister in Christ. When you come to the Lord's Supper, your faith is enriched because you have fellowship with Christ there. He is spiritually present there, and he is serving you at that moment. You keep company with Jesus at the Lord's table. You keep company with Jesus at the Lord's table. But it isn't just, now here's where we're going to get to and we're going to land a little longer. It isn't just you and Jesus. You are there with a company of believers, a faith family. And this is the second way your faith is enriched at the Lord's Supper. At the Lord's Supper, there is a fellowship with one another. So get these categories. We have a fellowship with Christ. The Lord's table is precious because it reminds me of the gospel and Christ is with us. But there's another significant element that so many, I think in this room, we miss out, and that is the sweet fellowship we have with one another. Verse 17 is where we often would go, any pastor, theologian, when we're trying to articulate the participation we have in fellowship with one another, where we read, because there's one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. So there's one bread, and that one bread, and we do it different. We have it broken up already into little pieces, but that one loaf is symbolizing our unity together. We are a people unified. And the one body, this body of believers, we're together in this. This is us together. We're united in this, but here's the question, and it's so essential. It's so essential for the refining and understanding and the sweetness of the Lord's table, and that is, we're united in what, though? Today, there's all kinds of people gathering in groups, in large and small. Some are going to gather and play some sports together, play ultimate frisbee, or are going to go play the glorious sport of soccer or something like that. There are many, many, many thousands and hundreds of thousands of people gathering together today to cheer their favorite sports team on. There are crafting groups and support groups. Lots of people get together with some unity, something that's holding them together. And the thing that holds us together, the glorious thing that holds us together, is our unity in the gospel. We come as many, but we're one together in Christ. So our fundamental identity, brothers and sisters, get this, hold to it, it is sweetness. Our fundamental shared identity is we belong to Christ. And the Lord's Supper highlights that we part. We belong together in Christ. We are one body. Verse 17, we who are many are one body. The Lord's Supper is meant to symbolize that. But let's take that further, because I believe this is exactly what this passage is going for. The Lord's Supper is also meant to generate that. So we who are many, and what are our differences? Man, I look at this crowd and we all look alike. Very nice looking and handsome and put together well. But in our area of a country, there's not a lot of diversity among us. But we peel back the layers and we know pretty quickly. Have somebody over for lunch or dinner? Just ask questions about politics or your view on race relationships, and pretty soon you start seeing there's differences among us. There is some division. There is conflict that happens. You've carried that in. The person next to you, you might have that division and conflict. We have differing goals, differing personalities, different ambitions, different education levels, different financial status, but yet we who are many Christians, as believers, we're many, but we're one, united in Christ. All of those divisions begin to fall apart, and the Lord's Supper regenerates that every time we do this. So when you become a Christian, when you're born again, as Jesus talks about, you get a new heart, you get a new identity, but you're also a part of a new community, a new humanity. That's you, that's us. The Lord's Supper is a sort of renewing of our vows. We come together and we declare we are one. We are united. And it's also a unity that's regenerated each time we come. And listen, this is so foreign to many. I think we're throwing this out and you all, yeah, this is good, I agree. But are you experiencing the sweetness of the unity and the fellowship that we have that is brought together at the Lord's table? It's so foreign. Churches today long to create community. They do. That's a good thing. That's in our hearts. We're made in the image of our triune relational God, and so we long for community. And so there are social functions and small groups and other things that are meant to bring Christians together and cultivate godly relationships and friendships. And those are good, and those all have a definite place. Yet God ordained this to happen at the Lord's Supper. Again, I think it's foreign. We don't think of the Lord's Supper as this cohesive generating of unity among us. In churches like ours would be a Baptistic type of a church, there is a chronic undervaluing of this. We gladly enjoy communing with Christ. We love the Lord's Supper. I hope that first part, we have fellowship with Christ. How sweet is that? But the fellowship with one another is chronically undervalued. The service itself has become very individualized. Everyone's together, but yet everyone's alone in our thoughts and prayers. And yes, we are with Jesus. There is a time where we're examining ourselves. It's not all corporate. There is personal time that we are with the Lord and communing and thanking with Him. But we're together with Jesus. We are many, but we're all one. We all partake of one bread, verse 17. So here's how it plays out in part. At the Lord's table, together, we are confessing that we're all sinners. Now listen, that sounds theological and proper. But do you understand that we all come in broken? We sang songs about this today. We are all needy. We come together confessing all of us are not completely whole. We're all sinners. And there's a sweetness of doing that together. It's not, here's this elevated group of Christians and I'm the out on the edge there. We're together confessing. We're sinners. At the Lord's table also, we are proclaiming the gospel that restores us to God and one another. So we're sinners, but We proclaim the riches of the gospel together. We're reverberating around this room. I belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. We're together in this. At the Lord's table, we declare our unity together in this. And at the Lord's table, the unity we have in our relationship is regenerated. Because at the Lord's table, we have to be one. Just to lay that out a little bit more, 1 Corinthians 11, there's a massive problem at the Lord's table, and that's a problem of division, disunity. To the point where Paul says, church in Corinth, you're getting together every week and doing the Lord's table, but you're really not. You're doing something foreign to what God ordained it to be. I think we could argue that the whole book of 1 Corinthians is really a polemic against division and disunity. We live in a hostile world. We have relationships that are broken. There are people that you don't like. There are people that ruffle your feathers. There are people that you want to avoid. At the Lord's Supper, when those things come to mind, those must be taken care of. That is how we honor the gospel. That is how we honor the Lord Jesus, because I'm declaring with my lips, I'm one with these people. But in your mind, there's three or four people you're not. That is hypocrisy. And you're not experiencing the refining and refreshment of enhanced faith at the Lord's table with fellowship with one another. It nourishes our faith. And when we do come together in purity and joy, we realize we're not alone because we have Christ together. But we're also not alone because we belong to one another. We're a part of this new humanity. So listen, please listen. In the church as a whole, and particularly at the Lord's Supper, but as that plays out over the weeks as we get together, no one should be overlooked in this church. No one should be oppressed by you or by someone else. No one should be an outsider. At the Lord's Supper, it's a great opportunity for you to look around and make sure that we are in communion with one another, that there is no division or outstanding conflict with that guy over there, with that girl over there, with the person right next to me, that this conflict is resolved. That's why it's so refining. You have to take seriously these relationships so you have the joy of your faith being enhanced again and again, over and over at the Lord's Supper. This is such a blessing. It forces you to not be hypocritical. This pushes our faith to be a people who remember, I've been forgiven much, so I can forgive others. But also at the Lord's table, we should look around to make sure there's no one left out. And by that, I don't mean people have been neglected in receiving the bread or the wine, but I mean they're not neglected in receiving your care, your love, your concern, your affections, the fruit of the gospel that comes through you. And so you look at the fruit of the Spirit. You look around the room and you know love is being extended. There's joy that is being shared with my brothers and sisters. There is peace that I have with God, but I have peace with all of you. All of you, there's peace. Patience and forbearance are going to have to be extended. We are a prickly bunch of people. And so there has to be evident, manifest patience, forbearance extended. Kindness is evident. Somebody walks in, a stranger walks in. This is a kind place. Goodness is mutually received as we do good to one another from a pure heart. Faithfulness, fruit of the Spirit. It's resident here because we bear one another's burdens faithfully. We don't forget about each other during the week. We don't neglect to care for people. Gentleness pops out in tense situations or times of confrontation. So it would be like this. There's this sweet demeanor that we carry in this church of this body being, we can be firm, but it's a welcomed firmness. You're gentle. This is a sweet place to be corrected. And last of the fruit of the Spirit would be self-control as we consider one another more significant than ourselves, Philippians 2. That's the sweet aroma wafting from the elements of the Lord's Supper. This is the sweet aroma of the gospel that we get to breathe in when we come to the table together. But where does this come from? How does this culture become like this? That kind of relationship, this kind of fellowship. Well, brothers and sisters, you all know the answers. You've been catechized well, I hope, in this. This sweetness comes from the work of Jesus Christ. So we don't sit over here thinking, I like that picture, so let's come up with a strategy, let's come up with a plan, let's work our willpower. We come over here thinking, that is where we need to be, but I can't do it. I'm broken. I'm making this place stinky with my bad attitude. And the cross comes and brings forgiveness and restoration and growth, and we continue to inch more and more in that direction. 2 Corinthians 3:18 explains it, that we are transformed from one degree of glory to another to be more and more and more like Jesus. So this comes through the work of the gospel. Where do we remember the gospel? It's at the Lord's table. We're brought right back to it. Now, there's other ways that we will relate to one another and work these things out, but it's at the Lord's Supper that it's heightened. So you look around the room. Who is it that you have tension with? Who is it that you have been distant from? Who is it that you're avoiding? Who is it that you meet him with a smile, but inwardly there's a snarl? Russell Moore explained this about the Lord's table. He says this, perhaps if our churches intentionally recovered the communitarian focus, that is this fellowship with one another, the focus of the Lord's Supper, we might have less and less need for professional conflict resolution experts called in to consult with us on how to overcome our divisions. He goes on to say, after all, for Jesus and for the Apostle Paul here in 1 Corinthians 10, the starting point for unity in the church and for the sanctification of the body together was a common gospel and a common table. And some would argue that, so the analogy go, when does a marriage begin? Well, is it when you say your vows, when you consummate the marriage? Some would argue that a church begins when the people gather and it's the Lord's Supper that brings them together. This makes the many one. And here we're seeing that it does so in glorious ways. Our God is good. He surrounds you with blessings every day. There are pools, I call them pools of grace, that surround you every day. You're dirty and battered and parched and dry, and you go into the pools of God's grace, the Word of God. For some, it's Christian music, it's prayer time, it's fasting, it's serving. One of the significant ways God serves us, this pool of grace, is in giving us the Lord's Supper. To nourish your faith, to enrich your faith. May God's instruction encourage you today to carry on in relationship with him and with each other. So what do we do now? Well, we are going to continue with our pattern of the Lord's Supper monthly. We're moving it up 1 week this next month. Next week, we'll have the Lord's Supper together. I remind you that we're inviting all who profess Christ as Savior and who've been properly baptized by immersion to come and join. But following this sermon particularly, I pray the Lord's Supper will be a sweet communion with God and each other. Now here's the work. As this sermon sits on you this week, and I hope God's Word does this week, read over verses 16 and 17, particularly of this passage. As that's sitting on you and doing its work in you this week, you're considering this relationship with God. How is it? Next Sunday, all of us are going to come unworthy, but have you been fighting the fight of faith? Have you been seeking to treasure Christ above all? Have you been feeding your faith? Or you've been living under the table of the world and eating its scraps, stuffing yourself with that so there's no capacity to enjoy Christ? And you know the Lord's Supper is coming, a time of refining and refreshing, and you strive to walk with God imperfectly this week. Well, that's daily and constantly, but especially I want to consider your relationship with each other. Consider who you may need to reach out to experience gospel unity reestablished. Who is it? Honestly, I think some of us in this room may have for weeks, months, years been partaking in an unworthy manner because of a division, a hostility, a distance that we have with other brothers and sisters. There's a hypocrisy resident. And so this week, as you're mulling, as this is working in your heart, you're thinking, as I come to the table with this faith family, will I either not partake because I'm unwilling to be restored, or is it going to do its sweet work this week? As you work on your marriage, on your parenting, on your relationships with one another, the reason you sit apart in the sanctuary, you avoid each other, that will be worked on, email sent, text sent, the olive branch extended, so that next Sunday will be one of the sweetest services you've ever been to because of the joy and enriched faith you experience at the Lord's table. May that be. Let's pray. Father, we are so, so thankful that we are not alone in this. that we have a faith family, but more than anything, we have your presence brought to us through the work of Jesus Christ, that we who once were far off, dead in our sins, alienated from you, hostile towards you and rejecting your rule and setting our pride above you, that we have been rescued from that, from our deception, from our blindness, only through the work of Jesus. And because of that, we have new hearts, we have new minds, we have longings to follow you, and you give us those longings not to lead us into constant discouragement, but to lead us into further liberation and joy and peace. So, Father, would you please, this week, revive this people in the relationship with you so that the Lord's Supper is a sweet spot of enjoying your spiritual presence, your grace, the reminders and symbols of the gospel. And may you bring a revival in relationships so we who are separate, those relationships are restored. Lord, that seems daunting. Some right away in bitterness resist. Oh, Lord, help us to see the poison we drink in that. Help us to see our unhappiness, the lack of peace, joy, love, patience, kindness, gentleness. Help us to see our souls are at risk as we reject your rule. So assure us of our belonging to you this week as you consistently work in our lives to give us joyous, gospel, humble relationships. Reconcile this people, I pray. I'm thankful that generally on the surface all seems so well. There's such great unity here, but we long for it to be more so that anyone walking off the street would delight in this presence because of the sweet aroma of your grace. Do this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.